Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And joining us right now, very excited about this, Cheryl Atkinson is with us. She's the host of Sinclair's Sunday TV program called Full Measure. She also has a brand new book out. It's called The Smear, and it is just so timely. Cheryl Atkinson, good morning and welcome to back to Mornings on the Mall. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I got to read some of your book. I read some excerpts from the book, and I'm really looking forward to reading this. This is just so, so timely. How did you manage to see this coming, this ascent of fake news, and know that it was going to become such a huge focus in the Trump administration that you would be releasing a book at just the right time?
When I first started working on this, the smear, it was more about the overall history and development of the smear industry and the takeover in some respects of the news business by these operatives that want to control narratives. But toward the end, it started to look like there was this fake news trend. It emerged literally in September of 2016, and I trace that in the book, where it came from, who was pushing the narrative to fight fake, so-called fake news. So we added that to the book, and it delayed the publication. We added it to the title. We saw how big it was and how much it related to the themes in the book. So, you know, I think it was pretty easy to see in some respects where this industry was going, but the fake news part of it reared its head really in September last fall, and we added that.
You mentioned that you saw operatives are taking over the news business. How exactly is that happening? Is that a product of just laziness among journalists that are willfully just taking on the research of operatives and making it their own?
It's a combination of factors, and that's part of it in some cases, but I argue in the book, and you talk to the smear operators, and they will tell you that they've really figured out a lot of sophisticated ways to get their nose under the tent of the news business. And we in the media have not been a good job at keeping ourselves separate. We have invited them in, sometimes not only as pundits and people who comment and give their propaganda and talking points on the news, but we've invited them in as editorial presences, like as writers and anchors and reporters. So in many different ways, they've figured out how we work, and we've allowed it to happen, and there's little meaningful difference in some cases between those trying to shape narratives and those of us in the news who are supposed to be really trying to keep somewhat separate from that.
When you trace this back, where is the birth of this idea of a smear with fake news?
The fake news part of it came in September of 2016 with a group called First Draft. So I looked into that because I always follow the money when I see what sounds like a narrative. Not that there isn't an issue with potentially fake news, but it came up in such a way and was pushed just like a rollout of a PR campaign. So I looked into it, and First Draft was actually started at the beginning of the election cycle in the United Kingdom with primary funding from Google. And as you know, Google's parent company, Alphabet, the head of that was Hillary Clinton's number two donor. And they've partnered in this anti-fake news effort that suddenly emerged, that phrase, in September, with the likes of CNN, Washington Post, and other left-leaning news organizations. And then pretty soon, right after that, President Obama took up the mantle and said suddenly there was a need to curate the news, this wild, wild west environment. People were going to need to curate it. And I remember thinking at the time, well, the public wasn't clamoring for that. So this was something that somebody wanted. And shortly after that, it made headlines once President Obama mentioned it. Almost every day from that point on, fake news was in the headlines. Now, a lot of people have forgotten this was an invention of liberal interest because Donald Trump, master brander, took over the concept. Now it's largely associated with him because I call him the anti-smear candidate. They tried to use the fake news moniker against him, and he sort of grabbed it and took it over and co-opted it.
You know, I want to talk about the smear, the word smear for a moment, because you're very specific about how you define it. You know, a lot of people have made up bizarre and hilarious untruths about people they don't like in politics, but a smear is a little bit more pernicious because it has sort of the granularity of truth attached to it. Explain that.
smears often have a grain of truth. And what the smear artist does is use that grain of truth and pervert into a weapon of mass destruction. And what marks a smear, you know, you say, well, if it's got a grain of truth, what's wrong with it? I mean, nothing in the minds of those who perpetrate it sometimes. But what I say is, its motivation is rooted in annihilation of somebody, to ruin and destroy somebody or an idea, primarily for a political or financial motive that is often hidden. So someone may pretend that the reason that they're attacking somebody or going after them is for a moral high ground reason, but they will gladly ignore the same behavior in their allies that they take somebody down for if it's somebody who is holding an idea or that they want to destroy.
You know, as a journalist, Cheryl, I've experienced this too. Many people come to us with all sorts of motives for why they're trying to share information. Some of them are ill motives, and it's the journalist's job then to sort of ferret out what are the facts and what aren't, right? I mean, so oftentimes these smears can start as, like, you know, helpful hints, but the reporter shouldn't just take them wholesale and use them as journalism without sort of double-checking all of the facts, no?
I learned in journalism college, when somebody comes to you with ideas or a press release, that's a starting point of what somebody wants you to think. And there may be a story there, but usually I was taught there's not. You know, usually it's what you find out about that, or as you take it further and decide what the real story is or where the money tie is. But too often, I think now, journalism is considered to be, I don't think people know, PR firms and think tanks and these smear industry people, crisis management firms and nonprofits, they create these narratives and send out these talking points and sometimes hand research that's completely done to reporters and hold meetings with them. Reporters will take this as if it's, that's how they get news. I get news, you know, because someone hands it to me. I mean, it's shocking because that's sort of the opposite of how I think most news should come. I mean, it doesn't mean there's not stories that can be had by people who are peddling it or trying to give it to you on occasion. But that's typically not where I think we should be getting our stories.
Yeah, I want to talk to you. When you were giving the definition of smear and for political purposes and everything, I immediately went to one family as almost the poster children for the smear. And that would have to be, obviously, the Clintons. I mean, they were phenomenal with this. I think back to Bill's campaign, and look what they did to those women who actually had the guts to come forward and accuse him of sexually harassing them or violating them in some way. What was done to those women was absolutely textbook. And I think it was wrong, but you've got to admire them. They know how to do it.
Well, we trace that because so many people pointed to that time and that movement, really, as the beginning of something that others would learn from and try to copy and emulate and improve upon in the smear industry, both Democrats and Republicans. I also argue the Clintons were victims of smears, so they're perpetrating smears, allegedly, but at the same time, I trace the billionaire Richard Mellon Scaife, who did fund, I mean, he put money out there like some do and said, get Bill Clinton when he got elected president, and funded so-called journalism efforts for people to write things and dig up dirt about the Clintons, and they did. One of them, interestingly, was David Brock, who was writing for the conservative side at the time, smeared the Clintons, later confessed that he did unethical and dishonest things, and then switched sides, and now he smears for the other side,
yeah.
Runs Media Matters, and uses the same tactics in as someone who's a liberal, smearing people who fight his donor's interest.
There's nothing fake about this book. It's a great, great read for sure. Thank you, Cheryl Atkinson, for looking into this stuff.
Thank you so much.
Have a great fourth, Cheryl.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.